Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated island chain paradise of New Zealand, where it's so hot here that everybody got a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb. And I will be having a guest in the second hour, Marama Davidson, who's a wonderful woman, a mother, and kind of multi-speaker. She's good, and she'll be arriving soon as she can, hopefully. Now, in the meantime, got a little bit of a report to think. I don't know how many people are actually listening live. You know, it'd be nice to know those kind of things, but, you know, when you're working really hard, you don't have the opportunity, the time, for example, to nail down a whole lot of things. So it's kind of like you're juggling balls all the time, you know. You always got two or three balls in the air, and sometimes things happen that, well, more or less cause you to drop all said balls, and then all of a sudden you've got all this time on your hands. So what just happened to me today... This has been an interesting morning. Not only have I been informed that my guest is going to be over an hour late, but my Facebook profile that I've been working on for 6 years, admin of dozens of groups and organizations that have tens of thousands of likes and listeners and readers and so on and so forth, has been... dysfunctionalized, emphasis on the dis and the funk. There is nothing I can do about it. So all my thousands of friends, all my tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of, you know, listeners and so on and so forth who have seen me through Facebook, it is no more. It is no more. At least for now, anyway. Until it takes me like another 6 years to build up another profile, which will probably be blocked again. And here's the interesting part of it. It's quite funny. You ever read the book Catch 22? I swear, if you have not read the book Catch 22, go out and find that thing. Oh, yes, indeed. It is a brilliant, brilliant novel. Mostly because it's the first book that I've ever read in my entire life where I actually had to put the book down several times because I was laughing too frickin' hard. And here's the comedy of this situation, right? I'm logging into my Facebook. You know, yeah, how you do, you know, you put in your email address and your password. And then it says, excuse me, you violated the terms of our service. And you're blocked, more or less. You have to rename and rebrand yourself as an organization, because you can't use Facebook personal accounts and not be an actual person. If you're fronting for an organization or a political group or a public figure or something of that nature, you have to have a specified account, right? So it should be a simple, easy fix, right? You just take all your existing information that's on that Facebook account, same name, same everything. You're not really going to change a friggin' thing, really, apart from one tiny little bureaucratic category. Instead of being Guerrilla Media Mr. News, it's just me, Vinnie Eastwood, and every single post says Vinnie Eastwood on it, so it'd be pretty friggin' obvious who it was, would just become a media organization or a public figure news broadcaster or something of that nature, right? But here's the thing. You have to use the same or similar name. But if you actually type in the same or similar name, it gets rejected. And I've tried many combinations. I mean, it's like cracking a safe. You know, I've included Frack You Facebook as one of the names thing, and it rejected that too. And I was like, oh, they just don't have a sense of humor about this sort of thing. It's the frustration, you know. And here's the silver lining. I was just thinking, oh my God, I can't do Facebook anymore. Suddenly I like, this is what I do every single day, you know. Before the show, I post on my Facebook, you know, the show's about to broadcast. Or after the show, I will post up the archives and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of different things that I do on Facebook all over the place. And the interesting thing becomes, of course, that I don't actually know what to do with all this spare time that I've got from not having to do Facebook anymore. And I was like, whoa, hold on, what else have we got going on here in your life, Vinny, other than Facebook? Well, you're a couple of shows behind on your archiving on the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Could get up to date with that. Videos too. We've had two people in the studio, make that three people in the studio over the past couple of days. When somebody comes into the studio, I use an extra camera. So we've got two different camera angles to cut together through the interview and make it more television-esque. So we could do that as well. And we've got Dr. Paul Connett's presentation when he was down here in Auckland back in February, which I haven't even finished yet. A two-hour presentation, again, done with two camera angles. That'll take a while to edit. And then, on top of that, we have a significant quantity of other technical issues to solve out. For example, gorillamedia.co.nz, which I started with a person some years ago who kind of left me in the lurch and left me with the one of the worst looking websites on online. I have no doubt of that. Not only does it look like crap, and I can't really change it because I don't know how, because it's a technical thing, but it's not got any more space on it either. So all the RSS feeds and things of that nature that I've got all over the web that are republishing for people all of the new articles that come out of gorillamedia.co.nz, and previously it would automatically update them with my with all of my YouTube uploads and stuff like that, are dead. And you go to gorillamedia.co.nz and that's dead too. And I'm paying like $35 a month to Remu Hosting to host that stuff. Yeah, for a website that is full. Has no capacity, whereas the VinnyEastwoodShow.com has huge quantities of capacity. And there's another Weebly platform that we're trying to get up and running as well, the RealGorillaMedia.com. And naturally, my GorillaMedia.co.nz RSS feed is posted on that homepage, which is, you guessed it, dead. So it's just like, well, now I've got the time through lack of Facebook. You know, just bear in mind, this is an important reminder to people how to deal with stress. I don't deal with stress well, generally. If I see that there's no way out, if I see that there's no silver lining, I get really, really upset quite quickly, actually. It's quite scary. And because I'm very large and very loud, yeah, it's actually quite a shameful thing to admit to people, like what I get like when I'm under immense stress and strain, you know, yelling, screaming, swearing, so on and so forth. It's a bad thing. It's a very bad thing, and I haven't learned to freaking control myself. You know what I'm saying? But after all of that gets out of your system, about 5-10 minutes or whatever it takes, you then think, creatively. Solutions to these problems. So what we're going to do is we're going to remove gorillamedia.co.nz, lose all the articles that have ever been posted there over years and years and years, and we're going to shift it, start afresh, and go to realgorillamedia.com. And I'm going to contact all the people who were doing articles and things like that for Gorilla Media in the past, and we're going to give them a new blog. And these new blogs, instead of having to put in code by hand, so on and so forth, you know how irritating that can be, you got a drag and drop system, which is actually going to allow them to upload their own videos and audio files and anything they really want, pictures, albums, whatever, to the website. And we're going to turn it into one of the world's first, you know, kind of open source media platforms where it's not just posting links and things of that nature to videos or audio archives. You can actually post the actual videos, actually upload them, upload the actual audio archives and things like that, just like I've been doing on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com for years. And I do think that this would greatly benefit particular activists, because there's so much versatility that you've got with the Weebly platform, and you require zero frickin' training. And that's just brilliant, isn't it? Something that works, isn't ridiculously complicated, not going to fail out on you, not going to fill up too high on the quantity of data and whatnot. Plus, I don't have to pay a hosting company $35 a month. I mean, that just sounds brilliant to me. I mean, it means that I lose 6+ years of articles that have been posted from day one at guerrillamedia.co.nz, and I can't figure out how to retrieve any of them anyway. And you can't just migrate it to another kind of thing, because it's Drupal and it doesn't do crosswork. You know, it's just basically sometimes you have to just cut your losses. So the only thing that I haven't lost at this point is the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You know, that's actually quite a realization that's just hit me now. The only thing since Facebook fracked me, since my Guerrilla Media website went down, the only thing I have is the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the only thing I'm really doing. And the YouTube channel. But they could just take that down at any point, couldn't they? I mean, just imagine that. I've got like nearly 2 million hits on that frickin' YouTube channel. And they could just take it down, and it'd be just like this Facebook situation now. Lost thousands upon thousands of friends, and through some kind of glitch or causal time loop warped bureaucratic BS, just can't use that again. And I'm just thinking, you know what, it's not worth the effort, is it? Is it? Wait a second. Aren't like almost half of the interactions and the visits to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com come through the Facebook thing? Isn't there a Facebook logo on the top of the website? Yes, there is. So, you know, just this one thing happening means I have to correct all of that. You know, I have to remove all of it. And or just pray and, you know, go back to Facebook and hopefully they'll reinstate my account. But I was just thinking maybe you can take a couple of weeks off it so I can catch up on real important work. You know, all that's happened with Facebook is pretty much the predominant work of the show. Think about it. All the interactions with listeners through Facebook. A lot of the guests being organized through Facebook, including the guests that I have arriving today in the second hour. Think about that. How important has Facebook really become to us as a communication tool, as an organizing platform? Every single protest that I've been to for the past couple of years, pretty much through Facebook. So to lose that is catastrophic to my personal little war effort. That's actually quite nasty, isn't it? That's how much power Facebook has. You can build your business on it. You can build your personal life on it. You can build your political career on it. And in one swoop, everything you've worked on is gone at their behest. And the funniest part about it is I can't log into it to lay a complaint or send them a request. I can't even contact Facebook with my Facebook account that they blocked to ask them why they won't let me have the same or similar name when it tells me that I have to use the same or similar name. That's pretty hilarious. if it wasn't making me so freaking angry. Because there's the frustration factor. It's like being autistic, okay? You got the words in your head, you got the communication, but somehow the wires are crossed and your communication can't get out. So you get really frustrated that you can't communicate with people properly. And then you start getting really, really angry and you start acting out. That's kind of what it is to lose your flashbook. Let me see if I can pronounce that correctly. Flashbook. Well, yeah. Sounds really dark and daunting and evil. Flashbook. Almost like some kind of big brother, all-seeing eye. We've encapsulated the entire world within our apparatus, and now we get to sell all of their personal information to massive corporations so that they can sell stuff more effectively to you. You know, I thought, I wonder, how much power do we really give away? How much control do we really have at the end of the day if the only way that we're organizing or actually making things happen is through networks that are controlled by some scumbaggery agency that has everybody on it? We'll be right back after the break at thefunnyasianshow.com.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, zeke-parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people that keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster
back.
Playboy scum on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And 5 days a week, you can tune into the show and we can talk about all sorts of stuff. Now, speaking of talking about sort of stuff, I've got to think about other avenues of communication other than Facebook. So there's this old piece of technology a lot of people don't use anymore. It's called a phone. And and if you'd like to call in, the number is 218-339-8525. That's And the conference room is not yet open, so I'll let you know when it is. And the number is 218-339-8525. Now, communications is really important to human beings. We're a social creature, right? Okay? I think that's why social networking has gotten up so much in recent times. You know, since the invention, basically, of Facebook and Twitter and Skype and all of this other sort of stuff, there's so much ability to interact all over the place. And what I've discovered is you don't have any concept of how well connected you are and how much ability you have until that ability is taken away from you. All right, now really think about it. How many times do I communicate what I think and what I feel over Facebook? What kind of a principle does that set aside for my life? Is it that I'm some kind of narcissistic douchebag who wants everybody to know what I'm all about? And the answer is yes. And on top of that, you got the possibility of contacting all these amazing people, all right? You dig this. You got any really awesome radio show host or something of that nature. The chances are, in fact, possible that you might be able to contact that person through Facebook, like their page, send them a message, and contribute some way into these things that you enjoy listening to, or films and so on and so forth. This is why it has such mass appeal, because it's now a massive marketing platform for people who try to appeal to the masses. Isn't that interesting? Because I've got this this concept that you've got to be connected in as many ways as humanly possible. And I've been noticing a difference recently because I've been getting behind answering my emails. I've been getting behind on answering Skype messages and things of that nature. Haven't perhaps been organising guests and locking things down as much as I have because I'm doing, well, most things on Facebook, promoting the show and so on and so forth. And you know what happens is that suddenly, when it's all gone, you realise how free you are. It's like, after the frustration and the anger, go, oh my God, they blocked my Facebook, I got nothing, I got nothing. This great weight is off my shoulders. All of you people that contact me on Facebook, who just send me articles and videos all the time that I never watch because I don't have the time, will no longer be able to do so. All of those people that keep inviting me to their little dance parties and things like that and little prostitutional gatherings around doof-doof music that has no soul or no culture will not be able to contact me. All of those spams from people saying, oh, I have received some kind of great charitable thingamajig from some form of organization or whatever. You can get up to $50,000 off them. Won't be able to contact me now. Ah, yeah. All of these fake female accounts for girls from Nigeria and Malaysia and so on and so forth that keep private messaging you and saying, oh, I like you and so on and so forth. If you want to see my pictures, email me at this dirty website, etc., blah, 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 blah. Won't be able to contact me again. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of those status updates from people who have no frickin' soul, who talk about how they just got their new job. They don't even specify what that new job is. It's except that they're just happy about it because they didn't like their old job, and eventually they'll probably, a couple of years down the track when you're looking at their status again, saying, I've got a new job that'll also disappoint me later on, but I'll be much happier because then I'll get a new job that will only disappoint me a little about half the time. You're wasting your freaking life, son. Never again. You know, the possibilities of a lack of interaction are endless. All right. It's like, suddenly imagine this. Okay, you know, close your eyes if you're not sitting anywhere, okay? You're sitting in the bush. Okay. There's sun sketched out from behind the trees. You know, like you're in some kind of a surrealist painting. The green colours of the undergrowth and all the fronds of the trees around you is bright and radiant. And distantly, you can hear a kiwi singing. Kaka! And it's very, very pleasant indeed and soothing. And there's a little trickling stream that is coming right past you with a little waterfall too and a tiny little gnome at the top made of concrete because he stared at Medusa for too long. That's better, you say. Frack Facebook. But, you know, this is all just conjecture at this point. Because, hey, honestly, if I could get my Facebook back, I would. I would really prefer it, actually. Now, other than that, there's another element to communications. Personal interaction. Now, I'm not talking about just, you know, I personally message this person and so on and so forth. I'm talking about etiquette. All right. Incidentally, my last day on Facebook, you know, some kind of like, this is not like some sort of post-apocalyptic Facebook show, is it not? My last day on Facebook, there was this dude, and I must have blocked him on YouTube. For making some kind of a douchebaggery type comment. And so naturally he goes on my Facebook to supplant a number of other douchebaggery comments, decrying me for blocking him and decrying me for not covering father's anguish at the hands of Child, Youth and Family Services, which I've done like 10, 20 times on this show over the years. But of course he never bothered to do even a minor search on the subject. And so, you know, naturally, I block people who are very, very wrong and very stupid and have no manners. And so I just told this guy, look, that's the reason I blocked you. Here's the videos for the fathers who've had their children taken off them, like you wanted, that I covered within the last months, that you stopped listening to me, and all of the different voices and people that we have on this radio show on a day-to-day basis, because you just didn't like me and didn't have any respect and didn't even do a modicum of research to figure out whether or not you were wrong. Does that sound like somebody you should block? Yeah, it kind of does. You know, there's plenty of good people out there, but the ones that are damaged, is it worth the effort? You know? I mean, I've got my own personal problems. I haven't fully gotten my anger under control yet. I haven't sourced my entire career's worth of workload yet. I ain't accomplished nothing. This is nowhere near where I want to be. I've got a lot of work to do on myself. So, am I willing to take on other people's baggage as well? Because they're not willing to work on themselves? They want me to work on them for them? Or with them or whatever? Has some kind of responsibility for your own life? No. You know, if you're a good friend of mine, sure. Sure. You know, no worries. I'll stick my neck out. I'll go the extra yard. If you're just some random person who I've never met, who the first interaction with is insulting me or lying about me or trying to defame me, are you worth my effort? No. Because, hey, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Why in the frack would I want to waste time on those who don't encourage me, care about me, or enlighten me? There's just no point. And you'd be surprised, because it's not an upper echelon. Like, it doesn't require somebody of equal or greater magnitude of personality to myself to enlighten me or inspire me or encourage me or something like that. There's so many different people out there from all walks of life that listen to this show, who I meet in the street all the time, and know who I am, know what I do, are very encouraging, and thank me for doing so. So I've got that. I don't shy away from criticism. Somebody's got a point. Sure, you know. Frank, imagine if somebody wasn't even in a position to take criticism. I encourage people to criticize me, but, you know, constructive criticism, please. Just insulting somebody just for the frack of it's just a waste of freaking time. Why else? Mm-hmm. Is there some form of social interaction that everybody craves? And I think that one for me is hugs. Hugs are good. I read somewhere that you need like something like 5 hugs a day, which is why, incidentally, a lot of the time when I'm at protests, public meetings, et cetera, I'll ask somebody for a hug because everybody needs hugs, isn't it? And also it breaches that little invisible barrier that we've all got around ourselves. You know what I mean? And there's some people who really don't like hugging, you know, and it's because they're kind of obsessive compulsive anti-love type individuals, you know, and then they have a really difficult time bonding really with anybody because they enforce that barrier, you know. We've all got that barrier, whether or not we like to admit it. We don't like people touching us unless it's, you know, consensual. And somebody just comes out of left field or whatever. Ooh, sometimes it can kind of scare you and kind of make you feel a little uncomfortable. That's why that barrier is there. But if you're never willing to let it down, even for somebody who you know ain't going to hurt you, you're missing out on some of the finer things in life and in human interaction, my friend. You know, oh, that's a main hug. I've had people cry because of the good hugs that I give them. This is something that's very powerful and innately human. is to actually feel that kind of that warmth, that safety, that kind of love that a good hug can give. And that's what people really need to do. You know, what about Hugbook rather than Facebook? It's just like society structured now at this particular point in time to prevent us from having any real human interaction. When was the last time you had a really meaningful conversation with somebody, you know, about something important, something personal, something original, something so creative that it blows your mind? When was the last time you made something with somebody else, you know, that you didn't have to, weren't being paid to, you're just doing it for fun, to see if you could? And I think a lot of us are missing out on that really important part of being human that just says, I want to create things, I want to be close to people, I want to share amazing ideas, I want to have an effect on the world around me. I don't want to shut myself in. I don't want to shut myself out. I don't want to close myself off. I want to remain open. Sure, bad stuff will happen to me. Sure, bad stuff happens to everybody, doesn't it? But if you're not open, not only do you reject all the bad stuff, but you reject all the good stuff as well. And that's not good for anybody. If anything, the worse things get, the better a lesson you can learn from them. You ever notice that? At some of the harshest times in your life, like you got somebody with cancer in your family or something of that nature, and they get through it, they get over it, they have strong will, that kind of thing, that strengthens you so much, just knowing that you can do it. Oh, well, I've been through this before. This is nothing. This is nothing. That's the kind of dedication, of personal power, of strength of the human spirit, of common decency that we should all be really striving towards. And, you know, unfortunately, there is no real shortcut apart from suffering a hell of a lot, learning how to deal with it, getting over it, and moving on and making something better out of your life. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted, a fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. The call-in number is usually 218-339-8525. Not that the conference room is open at the moment. So actually, you know, I'm just going to talk on my own for a bit, because I think what's been happening is I've been doing a lot of self-reflection lately and been thinking about sort of how narcissistic I can be, how childish I can be, really just what a really truly angry guy I am. I mean, these are parts of me, but they're not me. You know what I'm saying? You know, me's a complex individual. I can't even really describe it succinctly. There's lots of good sides and lots of bad sides, basically. But the good overrides the bad, I believe, because I try not to hurt people. And in fact, I try to help people. I believe I help people more than I hurt them. I guess that's as much as anybody could ever really hope to accomplish in their life, is help more people than they harm. And not harm people really badly. You know, you feel guilty about that kind of stuff, don't you? You know, like I've had people on the show that have defamed other people that I've had on the show. It's actually kind of hurt their feelings and stuff like that because I didn't do my research on them, that kind of thing. And, you know, sure enough, those people wind up being really horrible people and start stalking you even if after you block them. And it's just like, you know, you've actually got to really be careful. It's like when I was young, you pretty much trust everybody, really, don't you? Yeah, very, very naive I was. And it's taken me a few years. I've kept trusting people, you know, in a very idealistic sense. I've been burned a couple of times, but I still keep trusting the goodness of man and the goodness of the human spirit. But I'm a little bit wiser about who I give my time, my resources, and my beliefs to. And there's these little barriers, you know. So if they cross this barrier, like if they say certain things or if they behave in a certain way, that shows me who they really are. Not just like a part of them, but the part of them that they're actually trying to hide, the part that they won't admit, the part that they won't apologize for, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's when you know you've got something really volatile and toxic on your hands, and you want to get rid of it. You know, Fukushima radiation style. There's no benefit in having relationships with those kind of individuals because they it's almost like they take possession of you. They treat you like a possession. It's about as close as I can describe it to be. They expect you to do certain things, and it's very difficult being in this kind of voluntary game here. I haven't seen a dime from American Freedom Radio. I've been working on this network for 3 years. You know, not a cent from the regular stuff that I do. I mean, they gave me $50 for voicing the ad for the killredlightcameras.com. But other than that, you know, we've just been chugging along. Doing what we all can do. And we've got to accept our position in life to a large degree, but also expect more of ourselves to an even bigger degree. Think about it. If this was all there was, if there was no expansion, if there was no growth, if there was no illumination in your life, you'd never have any idea of what you could have turned out being. You know, it's like fluoride. Imagine what I could have accomplished with a few more IQ points had I not been drinking fluoridated water this whole freaking time, up until the last couple of years when I realized what it was. You know? There's a more intelligent specter of me that exists, kind of like an angel on my shoulders, saying, Vinny, you're dumb. You're a couple of IQ points below where you should be, bro. And you're never going to get that back. And it's like, damn. Well, I remember some people from high school who were extremely intelligent. You know, I consider myself a pretty bright guy, but these guys, whew, leave me in the dust. And then they do nothing with themselves because the weight of their own brilliance drags them down, and they turn inward. And they stop thinking to themselves, you know what, I can actually help people. They stop doing that. And instead they just help themselves. And as a result, it doesn't help them at all. It only weighs them down, prevents them from doing anything that they really are capable of doing. You know? I just want a simple life. I just want a normal life. You hear, but you're not simple, are you? You're not normal, are you? And that's why you're not happy. It's because you're not being who you are. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, come on. Who knows you better than you? Look inside. What are your innate talents? What are your innate skills? If you're confused about that, then I suggest a little bit of self-discovery time. A huge quantity of people in this world have taken hallucinogens as a form of, rites of passage and so on and so forth. Been happening for goodness knows how many years. And, it happens. I can assure you, I've taken magic mushrooms, I've taken acid, I've taken mescaline, I've taken ecstasy, and every single time that I've taken any of these substances, and don't do it very often at all, I produce a different version of myself for analysis, if I can put so fine a point on it. Because you look at yourself, you look inward, you become a lot more open about who you really are, particularly more open about things that have hurt you in the past, and be able to really talk about them now without those kind of barriers there. And you go into these very introspective philosophical states. And when you come out of that state, the next day or so on and so forth, you feel invigorated in life. You feel like you want to change direction. You feel like you understand things a heck of a lot better. And then you start applying what it was that you worked out while you were having that experience, and you find out that, oh, my God, it's true. It works. You know? And that's something that people discount. But, you know, it's a shortcut, in other words. You could either do weeks and months and hours of meditation and so on and so forth and blah, 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 in order to achieve these higher states of consciousness by which you can change the way you do things, the way you perceive yourself, the way you interact with the world, the way you prioritize what actually matters in your life. You know, you can do this, but it's not without its consequences. You know, everybody's just like Bill Hicks said, you know, you never see a positive drug story. And it's always some guy fell off a building believing that he could fly because he was high on acid. And Bill Hicks' response is, why didn't you take off from the ground if you thought you could fly? You know, just test this thing out. Another moron gone, what a tragedy. And I think this is part of the reason why drugs and drug culture is demonized so massively, is because of the potential for awakening experiences that you can have. You know, Bill Hicks, I just watched a documentary about him the other night. Him and Kevin Booth and his and one of his other friends, I forget his name, had a big mushroom trip together out on a ranch twice. One before Bill Hicks became a big comedian, and one when he was about to die from cancer. It was like his last trip. And it was during his first one that he was told by this kind of this consciousness sort of thing that we're all one. There's no such thing as death, and we are the imagination of ourselves. And he heard this, and he turned to his friend. His friend turned to him, and they knew that both of them had heard it. Like, they'd just hallucinated the exact same voice and the exact same words. How is that possible? It's only possible if there's actually a realm of consciousness beyond the normal 3D world. And we've not been in touch with that realm for long enough. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture. Watch. your back. There's no civilians, women, children, front lines. Listen, consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.